So, I'm here with MC Frontalot, which is crazy to me, because I've been listening to for a while. Hi!
Hello!
Thank you so much for being on Press Start to Continue.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
A few months ago, I interviewed JJ, who is a drummer that goes on tour with you. It was really fun, and he hooked me up, and now you're here, and it's really nice to talk to you. Basically, can you explain like what you do on stage? Because it's
When I'm performing.
Yeah.
What do I do?
What do you do? Well,
there's the physical presence, of course. I'm standing on the stage. Mm-hmm. There's a number of sort of flailing arms and legs motions. Mm-hmm. That's definitely part of it.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, I am surrounded by a bunch of talented musicians, mm-hmm. who I have no specific deserving to have with me, but who the universe deems appropriate to allow me access to. Have a nerdcore stage name. It is mine's MC Frontalot. JJ's is Curveball. Mm-hmm. When he started playing with us, we sat around for a long time trying to figure out what his nerdcore name was going to be. He's like, "Man, I'm not a nerd about anything." I'm like, "Listen, man, everybody's got something that they understand to the exclusion of good sense and to the irritation of those around them who don't understand it as well and still have to listen to it. You have some nerd thing deep inside you. We're going to find it.
Just bring it out."
And he eventually settled on baseball statistics. I think he understands a lot about, baseball physics. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true, but he can tell which kind of ball you're throwing at his direction. Especially if he like maybe signaled you which one you should do. And then it's either the one he was expecting or a surprise. Anyway, it's like a whole field of understanding. So we decided to call him Curveball and sometimes Curveball Space Program.
That took me a second.
Anyway, he drums with us, yeah. On occasion. His buddy who sent him our way in the first place, Sturgis Cunningham, aka the Sturgenius, is our other common drummer when he's available, although he has a little boy, Gus, who keeps him in Northampton pretty often. Mm-hmm. And we've got Brandon Patton, also known as Black Lotus, on bass. We have the original keyboardist, G-7, Gabby Alter. He occasionally comes and does a show with us, but traveling, he doesn't love traveling, so mm-hmm. he doesn't do van tours with us anymore. We have Ken Flagg, who we call Vic 20. He is the more regular live keyboardist in recent years. And it's generally some combination of those folks, the four of us.
That's a big stage, honestly.
Almost never all those people at once. Okay. Sometimes at a PAX, we'll like kind of pile them all in and see how much noise we can make. But
just stack them up.
But generally it's a quartet or a trio with a vocalist kind of ruining the grooves.
So what made you want to tour with or play with a live band instead of just like a DJ or... I think on your website you said DJ CPU.
DJ CPU. When I was first making the records, I come at this from writing and home recording. Those were the two things that I was interested mm-hmm. in. I did not think of myself as a musician. I grew up with G-7. We went to high school together and then college together. I went to college with Black Lotus also. We were all in college together. And we would make music and stuff together, but those guys were like my musician friends. I was in the writer crowd, and I had been rapping and stuff, but I don't know. I never thought of myself as a music performer or like a musician. Mm-hmm. So that was like very much a hobby kind of a thing. So way back then, wait, what was the question?
what made you decide to tour with like a
right. So it's DJ CPU. So the first incarnation is me sitting alone in the middle of the night with the computer, sort of hacking some beats together and discovering that the multi-tracking on the computer has gotten fancy enough that I can make it sound as though I'm a competent rapper. And that that was very exciting. So I'm sort of cobbling together these false representations of my skill, talent, and stature. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm front a lot. I'm fronting a lot to put a recording on the internet where it would seem as though you should press play and listen to me rapping. So like I've made a lot of those, and you know, I didn't even have a DJ, so DJ CPU was my copy of Cool Edit Pro 1.2.
Oh,
thanks. Basically.
Just actually one thing that I don't know if a lot of people ask, but like the Penny Arcade theme.
Yeah.
What can you, that is so incredibly nerdy that,
sure.
I actually missed some of the references in there. Can you, but I know there's, the code that you're there, you talk, the opening, especially the, L shift over the quote.
L shift O to the quote and then dollar. So that's the beginning of the syntax for loading the file index off of a storage unit attached to a Commodore 64.
Ah, yeah.
You would you could actually, I think, just get away with it like that, even without a trailing quote. Maybe if you're. I'm not sure. Generally, the full syntax would have a closing quote and a comma 8. And you'd want to be careful not to do comma 8, comma 1, which loads stuff to high memory, or maybe like looks for a machine language or a binary or something, because it's just pulling this sort of a text file off of somewhere on the index. I'm talking out of my butt. I don't know how Commodore 64s work, but boy, did I load the directory off of a lot of floppies in my day.
I remember doing that a lot, too. Oh, you know what we should say? By the way, for anybody that doesn't know what a Commodore 64 is, which some
these things were great.
Might. Oh, they were awesome. I loved mine. Like basically so, a combination game console computer.
It was a real computer. And this was a lot of money back then, but way less than buying like a, you know, x86, mm-hmm. like some kind of IBM clone. They cost maybe $200-$250, and you hooked one up to the TV, and they took the, what was it at that point, the standard joystick port that was used on the Atari 2600, which was like a massively more popular piece of equipment. And you could get, you know, cheapo joysticks for them everywhere. You could get a fancy monitor, like open quote, monitor, close quote, at Radio Shack or any other television. You could load software on and off of it using a regular old tape recorder that had an RCA out.
Yeah.
It was versatile, and all you really, really had to buy for sure from Commodore was like this little thing, which was like a big keyboard. It's a beautiful keyboard. The spring action on those keys, the clacking noise.
Yeah.
Had a little cartridge port in the back, like a serial port, that video out. And that was about it. Had this really nice sound chip in it, four-voice wavetable synthesis, maybe.
I know a lot of artists started using on a Commodore 64, especially with, like, programming or even just making, like, light music. Or something, you know.
Sure, yeah. No, that's a big staple of the older, more tasteful chiptunes folks, the SID chip from the Commodore, and exactly. Even using real Commodores up on stage. And people adapt like 88 key keyboards to have this whole little network of like typewriter
people
parts
still
or
do
whatever.
That now too. They still people so, still have C64s up on stage when they're doing chiptunes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Which is really great. You know, it's really fun to watch.
So it was this consumer grade computer that kids used and they learned how to program as well as how to play Choplifter.
So what prompted you to write the theme song?
Oh, it was just those guys had like taken notice of these songs, these demos that I was, you know, making in my bedroom and sticking on the internet, and somebody had sent one of them to them, one of my song fight entries, I think, and they had liked it and they'd posted about it. And, you know, when you go from like a small community like Songfight being the only people on the internet who've ever heard the rap name you made up for yourself, to having the Penny Arcade audience, even the 2002 Penny Arcade audience or whatever year it was, 2001 probably, it's, you know, that's like a huge deal as far as you, the bedroom rapper, is concerned, are concerned. So,
well, that's where I actually first found you.
So they had called me their rapper laureate, I think just offhandly. As a throwaway line, they called me their rapper laureate on a news post, and I was like, well, if I'm your official rapper, then I'm going to make you a theme song. They didn't ask me to. I just did it.
Well, let's actually listen to that right now.
Now, let's begin to type some words. Word.
Yo, when I hit it, I hit
L, shift, O to the quote, and then dollar. If you know the dir of the nerdcore rhyme, you holler. I hit L, shift, O to the quote, and then dollar. If you know the dir of the nerdcore rhyme, you holler. I hit L, shift, O to the quote, and then dollar. If you know the dir of the nerdcore rhyme, you holler.
Nerd ho! Warm the mic up. Yo, we bout to strike up this band of nebuchadnezzars who cultivate nebulous fetishes. The FPS, RPG, or MM, cog in a obsession to blather over my blog or BBS. Step and possess, home thy geekishness. Your frame rate and frags today both impress. And yes, your affinity for a certain sight of some amusement. A classically adorned parlor of fun where you let loose pent up scent pieces to partake of flicker dramas. Get you branded a sniper, bitch, or rocket mama humper. Damn, dude, they said you're cheating, but with coins in hand, you got more game than Will Wheaton. When's the MC bout to get funny? I'm losing patience. Wanna know how the pants contain one wang and two next stations in a tandy hall where he plays whack-a-mole with the toilet paper. Front a lot can rock the PA song at the lowest common denominator. Not as a hater of culture or a lacquer in class, but an expert at math, accounting how the Penny Arcade owns your ass.
L shifts all the quote and then dollar. If you know the dir of the nerdcore rhyme, you holler. My hit L shift all the quote and then dollar. If you know the dir of the nerdcore rhyme, you holler. My hit L shift all the quote and then dollar. If you know the dir of the nerdcore rhyme, you holler.
So that was the Penny Arcade theme song that actually introduced you to a lot more people too, because they just pimped that on their site and on PAX and everything like that.
That was the main thing. Yeah. Like they invited me to PAX when they started doing them in 2004, and I just kept doing. I did the first 25 PAXs like straight through, and yeah, that's definitely been a huge part of why I've been allowed to be a professional rapper for the last, you know, 12 years or so. It's because I get to expose myself to the folks who come to PAX and want to see the concerts.
So one thing that is interesting about your style is your flow. It's kind of halted in some places. It's very unique. Is there
ramshackle is a good word for
it. It really stands out. Is there a reason why you chose to perform like that, to rap like that, or is it just like that just came out of like how you wanted to perform?
I don't have a theory behind my flow or any real coherent approach to it. I just you know, try to rap in a way that sounds as good as I can make it sound. yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I do try to catch myself if I'm unintentionally imitating other, like, because, you know, you sit around, you know, like, artists of every stripe, I'm sure, like, sit around absorbing art all the time. And stuff is great, you get, you unconsciously, you know, incorporate and lift and steal stuff. And if you notice yourself doing something that's derivative, you're like, oh, God damn it. And then you try and scrub that out. But I don't know. In recent years, I guess I haven't even noticed myself having the urge so much to lift from better rappers. But I'm sure I'm still absorbing and, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that makes – yeah. What do you think is your favorite – song to perform?
My favorite song to perform, I don't know.
Like something that, like, oh, you put this in the playlist and you feel like, oh, I get to do this song again. I really like it. Like more than like other stuff that you might do.
I like the ones that my band enjoys playing the most, because then that makes us. It makes me feel more like we're rocking it when they're all kind of into it instead of just like slightly bored. Mm-hmm. They love doing Stoop Sail, This Old Man. I like those songs too. Those have good grooves. It's so funny. The ones that I look forward to the most on stage are the ones where the verses are short and the choruses are long and I don't have to sing them. Because they just help me kind of regulate my stamina and like deal with getting all the way through 45 minutes to an hour on stage, which is ever more challenging as I get older and crustier.
But this old man is actually really good. That's off of Nerdcore Rising.
It is.
Well, let's listen to that too.
And hairier on my neck, back, and derriere. Ho, but not atop the paint, dear DNA. Let's negotiate. I'll trade the fading vision, you can have that back. Plus, the 30-year-old man belly is kinda whack. My hearing is nearing deafness, and I wheeze. Yo, please save me from the wrist hurt disease. It's infeasible that these are full list of ailments. Should do anything but accrue. I'ma fail 10 times out of 10. To age in reverse like Mork. Is there anything sadder than a dork? For whom the new hotness is not just inaccessible, it's grumbled against. You kids, reduce your decibels. Don't make me come over there and shake my cane. Is that rapper from the double ARB and he insane?
This old man, he rhymed once. He put up some valiant fronts with a wick whack bitter lack of youthfulness and charm. This old man kept rhyming on.
Joints creaking while I squeak around the stage. Hologram of this telling me I ought to act my age deranged. Already I don't got no brain medicine. If we were running out of food on a boat, I'd get jettisoned or eaten. I'm unsweetened. Don't tell me that I got the shortest straw. I'm not a cretin, just a little senile and gassy and slow. But I bet I'm very salty and I could still row. Let's gobble on that infant. Infants are useless. Also very soft, which is good cause I'm toothless. Come on kids, you wanna get rescued or what? Don't mumble all amongst yourselves. Speak up. I lost my ear horn the other day on the bus. You would think by the way you whippersnappers make a fuss that I said something crazy, profound or obscene. Wait, where'd the ocean go? Where have you taken me?
This old man, he rhymed twice. He found this would not suffice. With the whip-whack bitter lack of youthfulness on them. This old man was dour and grim. Oh, this old man was dour and grim.
Now front a lot shopping for the top of the hill. Should have bought a burial plot soon as I got ill, but I foolishly thought that I could put it off. Now I'm ghoulishly fraught with the soft in the head, hard in the disposition. How'd I earn this intractable attrition of the vigor that I figured would be mine for life? Is there no upside? Well, the rhymes arrive. Every year I'm alive, add to my vocabulary. Gonna do it till I'm staring at the ceiling in the mortuary. Plus, I'm probably wise by now and could do all the things old people talk about, like count pills, argue bills at diners, get a little tiny funky car and be a Shriner. Go to the haberdasher so I can look dapper, get stroke and forget I'm too old to be a rapper.
This old man, he rhymed thrice. He spoke a thin gruel of lies with a wick-whack bitter lack of youthfulness and spunk. This old man's rhymes was fun. This old man, he rhymed lies, rhymed till he grew livers.
I wanted to ask you, well, two more things. One, start over on your new album.
Uh-huh.
And that it's a kind of a concept album. It's basically for children. Is that what it is?
It's in the style of a kid's album. Mm-hmm. It's not like simplified for child audiences. Like the diction is all as high and convoluted as on any of my nerdcore records. Like any of my songs, it's none of them are probably super easy to absorb on one listen, and anyone who's likely to like them is probably going to go to the lyrics and read along and like spend time trying to figure out exactly mm-hmm. what all the twists and turns are in the story. But the goal was to make a record that responsible adults would not feel that they had to confiscate from their children. So there's like no cussing on it. It's not too scary at any point. And all the songs are based on fairy tales and folk tales.
Yeah.
And some of them myths. And so it's like a thing that would be a children's album, but it's, you know, I don't know how many children love it. it's like super fast rapping and big words and stuff. I grew up on like Muppet Show and Narnia and things that I felt were made for children, but that I always understood the adults in the room were getting on a higher level. And that always right. made me want to kind of expand my understanding of the input stream until I was able to like chuckle at all the same shit the adults were chuckling at. And that, I don't know, I like that as a guiding principle for kids stuff, that there's no reason to not go over kids' heads, because kids have sort of unlimited upward
right.
expansion potential. Like their headroom is like they can always grow to meet it. And the thing, the song, the episode of the Muppet Show, whatever it is, will still be there when they get older. And not only will they have more understanding when they see it again in 10 years, but they will have the added gauzy haze of nostalgia to help them think it's even better than it was.
It's kind of like Aladdin, movie Aladdin, when the genie does all of these impressions and stuff, and no kid is going to know who Jack Nicholson yeah. was.
That's right.
Or Bob Hope.
I tell you, Jack Nicholson and Bob Hope loomed larger as cultural presences in 1991 or whatever year that was. But yeah, kind of like the way the Disney movies always take a couple minutes to just do some psychic maintenance on the parents who can barely watch a movie, right? Because you bring three kids to the theater, you're kind of full time like making sure they don't shit in the popcorn or whatever.
Now I got that image in my head. It's gonna stay there the rest of the day. Thank you very much.
No problem.
So the last thing I wanted to ask was, I was looking at the posters that you were making during 2016.
The election propaganda. Warning posters.
Yeah. So
if only those seemed alarmist in retrospect instead of understated. Yeah. Yeah. I was, I got so little work done last year. I just spent every day obsessing over the potential doom of the election. But it's a current wound because now we're living in it. And it's, if anything, much worse than it seemed like it would be. And so here we are. The race war is brewing. Unlimited total war worldwide is promised by this fucking guy. If you're sitting around obsessing and you can't like think about something else, just take a minute, like stop the things you think you're supposed to be doing and make some kind of a protest poster in Photoshop or whatever, like do something to focus this stuff you can't stop thinking about into something concrete, and then you can hit save on it and be like, ugh, all right. And then move back to whatever.
It was like an outlet for you during
therapy. Yes, yeah. Therapy.
Yeah, that's
making resist race war, resist Trump posters is therapeutic for me.
Well, they're really nice too. It's not just therapy.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, they're
before
really
I was a rapper, I was a designer, although I was never particularly great at it.
Either way, you chose pretty well. So, thanks a lot for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. We're going to listen to Start Over, and links to your website and specifically those posters are going to be in the show notes and in the description. So, again, thanks a lot for coming on.
You bet.
Red Riding Hood was in good with the food distribution by her own volition, choosing to sincerely deliver to old folks sucker, also vigor, cheese and crackers, salt and coffee, medicine to help the heart beat softly, awfully kind in a mission. Red was, yes, in a head-on collision with the forces of trouble, long in the tooth plus stubble. And this goes double for all little girls. Know who wolves are, don't be telling them where you're going, how far, in what direction it is, especially if it's the unguarded cottage where grandma lives. This is just common sense with which little Red dispensed. Hence, she proceeded on her way
through the woods to Grandma's place.
Little Red Riding Hood rolled up, took one look and was like, what the what the heck? Grandma got a hairy neck, teeth enough to get wrecked. Next up, wood axe swinging. That's how it happened, that's all I'm singing. That's the story,
that ain't how it happened.
That's the story,
that ain't how it happened.
That's the story,
that ain't how it happened.
Well, I won't start over if you don't stop yapping. Now wolves got it hard on this earth, ever the subjects of defamation and mirth. First in line to be out there lurking, eyeing ingenues and smirking, working on a master plan, trying to get fed about the best he can, wondering if grandma got much meat, endeavoring not to be indiscreet. How many of them baskets she go through a month, and how does she react when she misses lunch, and what direction was she living in again? Well, you better hurry up and go and visit her then. But wolves are speedier than little girls, barely pausing to devour jackrabbits and squirrels. The wolf arrived, all the rest despicable lies, all that talk of assumed identity, let it be. This wolf was indelibly wolf-like, forthright too. He said, grandma, here's what I'll do, swallow your whole, your kinfolk for after, then I'll keep living so you don't have to. Sorry, starving wolf, no choice, get in the gullet, just follow my voice. That's the story,
that ain't how it happened.
That's the story,
that ain't how it happened.
That's the story,
that ain't how it happened.
Well, I won't start over if you don't stop yapping. Was hanging alone,
cultivating the medicine for the glaucoma.
She paid rent in the forest, it was inexpensive. Grandma's house was in the intensively wolf-rife section of town. She didn't mind, she liked a wild hound. Sound at the door, an intruder. Is that you, Red? You brought food for me to eat? Nope, the opposite. No hard candy, no soft chocolate, just a wolf belly for you to inhabit. And I'ma need your nightshirt for the next gambit. Clandestinely reclining in bed, the wolf awaits for Red, expecting their usual banter. How's school? Fine, Grandma, here's food. Thanks, dear. Instead, it's all what's up with the ears, eyes, nose, throat, teeth. Little Red Riding Hood, why you giving me grief? Bodies change as the years advance. Soft features grow unkind to the glance, and hairs sprout. All of it the better for you getting in my mouth. Wow, it's dark in here, says Grandma. Here come the wood axe swinging like, yeah, y'all. Old woman, come on back out and lock up your door when you're lying around. That's the story.
That ain't how it happened.
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 That's all I got, so you commence napping.